Well, before I jump into the text today and we continue the series Made for This, just a quick word, because I know we've celebrated and it's festive and all of that, but I also want you to know, for those of you that today is really hard, like, I get it. For some of you, it's hard because your mom is gone, or because she's distant, or she's done something that's wounded your relationship. For some of you, it's difficult, maybe, because you've already had to bury a child. Or maybe you had to bury the dream of having children. Maybe the relationship with the kids that you raised is strained, and that makes today just really, really tricky. I want you to know, first, that I see you. But more important than that, the God that we worship, the God who calls himself the God of all comfort, he also is the God who weeps, who grieves, and he grieves and sees you as well. And I know one thing is that in his plan, and in the way that he has designed the world and the future, no matter what pain you might have today, it is not the end of the story. The second thing is to all those of you who are moms, biological moms, adoptive moms, stepmoms, grandparents raising kids, aunts who operate like way more than aunts, single ladies who serve neighbor kids and nieces and nephews. For those of you that do this, we are so, so grateful for you. And no one understands, I don't think, the heart of God like you do. So, you guys, you fed us when we couldn't feed ourselves. You wiped our foreheads when it was hot and sweaty at 3 a.m. Because some of you, when I said you wiped, you went somewhere else. That's really funny. I didn't think about that when I wrote that line. But you're it. And we've got some great moms in this room. I have a great mom that's watching online, and I married a woman who's a great mom. And just really, really grateful for you all. There was once a mom, she had a son that was just breaking her heart. He was brilliant and everybody could see it. He was just passionate, full of like wanting to experience everything that life had, kind of a carpe diem kind of guy. And so much so that he just took off like a full-blown hedonist. Like every pleasure, every experience he could have, he went after it. He brought home girls that his mom never would have wanted him to bring home. He chased after philosophy and worldviews, and he thought his mom was silly with all her faith talk. And one day, he came to her and said, I'm out of here. I'm actually moving to a big city. I'm going to another country, in fact. And I'm going to leave behind this small town mentality and your small town faith. And he said, I'm getting on a boat and taking off. The mom, whose name is Monica, she was not the kind to just give up. And maybe some of you are that mom. Maybe some of you are that son. God forgive us all. I was like that too. But she didn't stop, and she actually decided she was going to get on a boat and go too. And the day that he was going to leave, he actually said to his mom, hey, I'm going to leave tomorrow morning, so we'll have time to say a proper goodbyes. She goes into a church to pray for him, just pray that maybe he would stay. And this joker, while she was in the church, he left his mom without a proper goodbye. She jumped on the next boat and followed him. She ends up in that distant country. And she goes to a church, starts going to this pastor, and every week she's just in there praying and crying and praying and crying, and she's just begging for her son to be able to come back. And one day the pastor, his name is Ambrose, he goes to her and he says, listen, comfort yourself. Be at peace. It cannot be that a son who's bathed in this many tears and prayers would ever perish. Those words have comforted some moms for 1,600 years. Her name was Monica. His name was Augustine. And it turns out that eventually he returned to faith. He becomes one of the greatest theologians in the history of Christianity. And he writes his confessions, which are really confessions to God about all the ways that he had walked away. But every time he talks about the role his mom had in his life. So I want to say to you, if you've got a kid like that, don't give up. And if you've got a kid that it's already seems too late, don't give up on a God with more grace and mercy, who is bigger and wider and deeper than anything you can possibly imagine. Keep going, have hope. Ambrose did tell her too, maybe you should talk less to Augustine about God and more to God about Augustine. So that's just in case you're one of those. I don't know. But moms like her just never stop going after the ones that they love. And that's because you're a lot like God. It's funny, you know, that parable that Jesus tells about the prodigal son, the one who comes back home. He tells this story, and it's a shocking moment to all the people because he says the son's coming from a long way off, and the dad sees him and runs, and everybody's like, oh. It's because it's the dad. Like, if he had said, and the mom goes out to get him, they would all have been like, yeah, of course. You just somehow, you not only internalize, you externalize the heart of a God of love. We call all the things that you've done nurture and love, and God calls it something else. The Bible says it's mission, because we have a God that is missional. He's after you and me and this whole world that he loves. In fact, there's this fancy Latin term that we use for this, the missio Dei, the mission of God. And he's got one purpose. He created the entire world and you and me and everything in it for one reason, and he wanted a big stadium audience to shower his love on, to make everyone know his glory. Every generation in every nation, that is God's mission. But he does it through you and through me. In fact, it's kind of interesting when Jesus meets the disciples right after his resurrection, he shows up in their place of like pain and fear. Do you remember the story? It's right after, the day after, and he comes into this room where they're all gathered and they're scared to death. They're afraid that what happened to him is going to happen to them. And he walks through a locked door, which I've got questions when we get up there. He walks through a locked door right in the middle of their pain, and he says these words, peace be with you. Peace. Peace right here, right now, right where you are, peace. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, interesting, from their moment of fear and pain, he first steadies them. And remember, he's told us before, like, I am your peace. The peace that you have, it's not just kind of settled. It's actually everything working right. It's being right with God and right with yourself and right with your emotions, right with creation, right with your neighbor. All of that is because he is our peace. He steps right into the middle of it and he says, I got you, but now I'm sending you out on behalf of me. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, he says. In the same way, the same manner, with the same mission that Jesus came on, I'm sending you. And I'm sending you as my agents, as my representatives, as my ambassadors. You have the authority that I have, he would tell us. You should get the honor that I receive. You are going on behalf of me to an unfriendly world, to a lost world, but to a loved world. God is mission himself, and his mission is to go love through you and me the world that he died for. Which should tell us something. In a church like ours, a church that's been around for a really long time, a church that has great tradition and lots of like foundational strength, we should take note that the mission of God is not static. His mission is always movement. In fact, sometimes we get this confused. Maintenance is not the mission. Just settling in, holding what we got, battening down the hatches, you know, being a little outpost, a cloistered spot against this old evil world and just huddle up here, that's never been God's mission. And it's not the mission for us. Maintenance is not the mission. Mission is the mission. So if we're sent just like Jesus is, on a mission just like his, what are we supposed to do? I promise I'm going to get to some Mother's Day stuff. But this is important because it's what moms do for us. They live the mission of God. Our role as sent by Jesus is to do two things: gospel demonstration and gospel proclamation. In other words, to show and to share the love of Jesus. That's what our role is. Have you ever thought about that? Like, your purpose in life is to actually be a shower and a sharer of God's love to everyone around you, in every place, in every way that he's created you. That's the role. And one of these is not more important than the other. It's kind of like the demonstration is making the good news, God's love, visible, sometimes before we make it audible. And it requires both. You got to say it, but sometimes you got to show people that they can trust your words. Moms do this all the time. They show us love. They remind us of it. But the way that we experience it is we see the sacrifices that you make. We watch the tired nights that you sacrifice sleep for yourself so that you can help or encourage or pray for. We watch you show the love of God to us and then tell us about the love of God. You're such good missionaries. Our church has a mission statement. A lot of organizations have these, right? Some kind of way to encapsulize or to specifically or uniquely talk about what we want to do in our mission. And maybe your organization, your business, you got a mission statement too. Anybody love their mission statement? Wow, yes, you do. I can't wait to hear what yours is. That's great. He's like seventh grade. Mission statements, right? We think about them a lot, we craft them, we put them on the wall. And our mission statement at St. Andrews, you've heard me say this before, it's to love our community, that's demonstration, and shape the culture, that's the impact, by equipping every generation to follow Jesus, that's proclamation. We want to show and share the love of Christ to the place that God has put us. But here's the thing, churches actually don't have a mission. Really, the mission has a church. God can and will do what he's going to do eventually with or without us. Our job is not to fall in love with our mission. Our job is to fall in love with our Savior and to be able to follow him wherever he will take us fearlessly into every place and space that he wants to show his love. So the mission actually has a church. Jesus said this in Acts a little bit later when he was like, you're going to receive power when the Spirit comes and then you're going to go. You're going to be my witnesses, my ambassadors, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Any of you been to Samaria lately? So what does this have to do with me, you're thinking? All these places are unique expressions. Jerusalem and Judea is their home. It's where they understood the context. It's close. Samaria and the ends of the earth are different and far away and different culture. And he says, where do I want you to go? Everywhere. But you start right where I found you, behind your locked door of fear, in the middle of your pain, with my presence and peace, and then you go. From Jerusalem, the place that they lived, worked, were known, failed, where their families were, he sends them right from there. And he sends you and me from that same place. It's interesting, when you study the scripture, you realize that, well, maybe you haven't realized this yet. Do you know that the mission of God has an address, and it's yours? You know how important your address is? In Acts, Jesus has revealed to Paul this mission, and Paul's talking to some folks, and he says this thing. I want you to read this. He goes, from one man, this is him like telling basically the story of the world. From one man, Adam, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the entire earth. Listen to this. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Okay, I want you to think about this for a second. Why did you move into the house that you moved into? It was a good, like, real estate deal. School system, the school district you were trying to get your kids into. You may have really good reasons for why you live in 92663 or whichever zip code you live in. Do you know that God, before the foundation of the world, chose that place for you to be? He has marked out the places and the times. If you ever wonder about your purpose, We, from an earthly perspective, from a human side, we make decisions and we walk forward in what we think is best and in wisdom, but behind the scenes, God and his sovereignty has been meaning for you to be right where you live right now. It's no accident. Your neighborhood is not an accident. Your next door neighbor, as annoying as he is not an accident. The place you walk your dog, the carpool line you go to, the soccer group that you're a part of. God, before found the foundation of the world, before dinosaurs were walking the earth, looked at this moment in history and thought, you know who would be really good there? John. And he put you here. That's a wild thing to consider. The mission of God actually has your address. It's interesting how many times in the scriptures, too, the gospel moves starting in the home. Andrew, one of the first followers of Jesus, he goes and gets his brother, Peter. Come on, I want to meet this guy. Then Cornelius is one of these soldiers that the gospel comes to in his home, in his living room, and his whole family comes together. Lydia is the first convert in Europe, and she's a businesswoman, a really successful businesswoman. Go mom, boss, girls, whatever that phrase is. She comes to faith. Her whole family's turned upside down because of it. Church is born out of her house. Like, God just seems to love to work through families. I love that song that Brandon just sang. He wrote it too, about a prayer for our family. Your family is your first calling. It's not a lower calling. It's your first calling. And God chose you for this moment in that place. But the mission doesn't just have an address. It has you. And not the cleaned up version of you, not the you a few years from now, not the you after you get through this tough season, not the you when you learn a little bit more. God's mission has you just like you are right now. He wants to use you right where you are, in seventh grade, with or without a mission statement, in your business, in your school, in your home. He wants to use you as you are today. Moms, you know this. You've been getting used by God to bring his love to us for a long time, and we're all better for it, but that's not all. He wants to actually bring more people into his family to make his glory and his love known in every place through you and through me. And sometimes that looks real messy. Sometimes it's even painful. Because God comes to you in your most complicated, most difficult place, and he says, peace be with you. There's a lady in our church who's an incredibly brave mom. I know a bunch of you are really brave. This lady's life and story has not gone the way that she expected. It's not been maybe what she would have prayed for, but God has met her in it. I want to show you a video of her story because it highlights so much of just how this missional God works, that he comes to us and then he moves through us. And after that, I'll talk to you a little bit about kind of what do we do from here. But I do want you to know this story, like we need more of, is real and it's raw. In some ways, it might even be difficult. But it's the truth of how God works. And so I want you to check out Tiffany Sumner's story. Watch this.
I grew up here in Newport Beach. My kids went to preschool here. They were baptized here. Every point in my life has had a significant role with St. Andrews. Yeah! Fort was full of laughter. He loved to joke around. He would just chase us around the house. I think his favorite toy was like the Swiffer. He has a sense of humor.
I'm gonna get you!
Right before his second birthday, he stopped responding to his name. We then took him to the pediatrician, who then ordered an assessment through a neurologist, and that's where we got his first diagnosis. They called it the autism spectrum for a reason, because there's such significant areas. There's the high functioning, there's the low functioning, there's level 1, 2, and 3. Ford would be placed on a level 3, which means it's the highest level of needs. He's completely nonverbal, and he will need care for the rest of his life. Several years after that, my former husband took his life. About 9 to 12 months after that is when my son started to regress significantly. Lamps, tables, he blew out car windows. Even worse, he did injury to himself, myself, and my daughter.
He got more aggressive, and I had to be in like my room a lot because my mom didn't want me to get hurt.
You question, why is God putting me in this position? Why am I getting physically assaulted every day? Why is my son putting himself in the hospital?
Every day, my mom was like on the phone or emailing, like there's basically like nowhere in like Southern California anymore that will like take kids, and even if they do take kids, it's like a really hard spot.
One night I came home and I got on my knees and I completely surrendered, and I said in my prayer, please give us some hope, please save my kids. If you help save my family, then you can use me for your will. It's a form of surrendering yourself to God. You have to have full faith that he is going to help restore faith, but also restore the chance to have your family back. He's getting so big. He's going to be over 6 feet tall, I think. I got a phone call 6 days later that they had a home for Ford. The percentage of that happening is so highly unlikely, because in the state of California, there's probably level three plus homes. The fact they had one within 30 minutes of my home is truly a miracle. He's actually improved quite a bit, and we've been through a lot of trials with medication, and there's one that has significantly helped. He's in a way better place right now. My daughter's been able to heal.
I feel like more free, and I could like do stuff like a normal like kid would do.
I started showing videos on social media of what we were going through, because I wanted to shed light to mothers not to give up in their journey. Now I'm using Ford's story to help frontline responders, firemen and policemen now, to help children and understand autism better when they arrive to the scene.
Look at the ocean.
How much fun the ocean is.
Even though kids are nonverbal, they communicate in other ways. They communicate through expressions. They communicate through physical touch.
My wife and I, we were just talking about it yesterday, how all the grandkids are so loving and caring, and I know it's because of our connection, their connection with Ford. Sometimes even the worst things that can happen to you have a, if you look hard enough, you can find a good side to it. We're all Christians, and we feel, in a lot of cases, Ford's almost kind of like a little, maybe he was put there for us, because he's made us all better people.
Ford, I love you.
Yeah. Couple things. One, I hope you wore your waterproof mascara. Probably should have warned you about that. But two, can you see what I'm talking about in real time through that? so many levels. There's the love of a mom that just won't stop. There's God meeting her in that place of pain, of showing up, saying, yeah, it's difficult, but I'm with you. Peace be with you. And then it's her being sent back, not away from the most painful parts, but right back into the most painful part. Tiffany now helps so many other families, both to find help and care, but to support and encourage, to motivate them, to help say that there's hope on the other side. I was just looking at an interview that she did on a really famous podcast, and she says this, they're talking about the impact. She says, impact doesn't begin with perfection. It begins with courage. It begins with showing up, even on the days you feel broken. Who was more broken and still lived on mission and sent than Jesus? Who had more grief over what he saw wrong in the world and still kept going than Jesus? Who does that better than a mom? Tiffany, thank you and your whole family for the way that you're encouraging and you are living into your mission. And thank you all for the way that in your own way, though your story may be different, though it might not have the same kind of notoriety, you've found that God met you and then sends you. Because it's the places of our pain or the places that break us that are often the places that God most uses us. One of the ways he does that is through comfort. To go into hard things that you've walked through, you've seen him on the other side of, you've experienced his goodness, and then he says, go back in there and show him what I'm like. Be me to them. Show and share my love. The Apostle Paul was writing about this in a sentence in one of his letters where he talks about this idea. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Peace be with you. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Paul really likes comfort. He would not have passed grammar in most of your classrooms. Comfort with the comfort with which you've been comforted. But the point is, you've experienced this. God has met you in some place in your life, and now he may be asking you to say, go show them what I'm like. Go be Jesus to them. Moms, you do this every single day with us, and all the rest of us have an opportunity to go live on mission, to live as ambassadors for the God who loves this world. So I want to encourage you this week as you think about maybe Tiffany's story, maybe your own, would you pray and ask God just to show you, like maybe remind you again how he's met you in the hard parts. The pain is actually part of the curriculum. It's part of the story. And he never wastes it. And I hope that we won't either. So maybe you can find some way to share your story this week with somebody who needs to hear it. For maybe you're a widow or a widower, and it's been 5 or 6 years, and maybe for you it's that person that's been a widow for 3 months that's near you that just needs to hear you say you can survive. There's hope. It doesn't end like this. Maybe for you, it's you show up to the meeting and you've had your sobriety for 5 years and there's a guy that's on 6 days and he needs you to say, keep going. You can make this. To introduce you to the Lord that you know. Whatever it is, the story that you have that God is using, he's chosen the places and times for you to exist for his mission. So can we all just decide today that in honor of moms, that we're going to try to live the way that they do, with the kind of passion, with the kind of perseverance, with the comfort that they do. And let's go meet a world that needs to hear that message. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to kind of have a time to respond. I want to pray for you right where you are, so maybe you just close your eyes and and just let God speak to you. Your pain is not wasted. It's not the highlight reel of your story that's so impactful. It's probably the outtakes. Your God sees you. He's with you, and he's bringing his peace. And the Bible that I read and the story that I see and the God who's faithful behind it all says, one day I will wipe every tear away. It will not end like this. Ford's story will not end like this. Tiffany's story will not end this way. Your story will not end that way. So Heavenly Father, I pray that right now you would come and you'd meet us first with peace. For any that are just, today is just hard, and maybe even thinking about some of this is just made it harder. Would you be who you proclaimed yourself, the God of all comfort? Would you speak and meet them in unique ways at the soul level? Father, I pray for those that find themselves in a difficult time. I pray that you would encourage, that you'd give hope and vision. I pray, God, that you would meet them, that you'd open up there and my eyes to the opportunities that are right around us. My block, our kitchen tables, our carpool line, the next cubicle. Jesus, we thank you that despite everything that we could do to push you out, to push you away, even as humans, to kill you, you wouldn't let anything stop you from coming. So much so that you ran through the gates of hell and death and the grave so that we might find hope and healing and freedom. God, I thank you for the legacy of moms, the ones in this room, the ones that are watching online, the ones that have labored for a long time. I pray you'd give them a peek. Would you open up the eyes of their heart to give them just a peek to see what you've been doing in all of their unseen prayers, in all of their unnoticed sacrifices, in all of their moments, God, where they may have felt alone. Would you just show them? And then I pray, Father, that you would help each of us to grab hold of this mission that you've given us to show and share the love of Jesus right where we are. God, don't get us enamored with anything bigger than just impacting our address, our street, our family first with who you are and what you've done. Jesus, we pray this joyful because you're alive, hopeful because you're in charge, and expectant because you promised to never leave us. In your name, amen.